Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY 2025 earnings conference call of Steel Authority of India, hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Kejriwal from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Siddhant. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Institutional Equities, we welcome you all again for SAIL Q1 FY 2025 post-result call. We are pleased to have with us Mr. Anil Tulsiani, Director of Finance, along with his team. Now, I would request Mr. Tulsiani for his opening remark, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Ashish. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome all our investors and analysts who are joining this results con call for the financial results of SAIL for the period Q1 financial year 2024-25. The performance of the industry in general, and SAIL in particular, has been impacted significantly due to the softening of the steel prices on the back of international price trends. I believe you would have already seen the results on the website of the company and stock exchanges. I would briefly run through the same before we move to the question and answer session, where we would be happy to address your queries. Coming to the world economic scenario, the economic scenario across the globe has been impacted in recent times by inflationary forces and consequent monetary tightening policies to counter the same, supply chain disruptions, geopolitical crises, etc. The scenario has, however, been showing a gradual improvement. Especially the emerging and developing economies have outperformed their advanced counterparts. As inflation subsides gradually, the banks have also eased monetary policies. These have chalked a steady path for the economy, with estimates for calendar year 2023 at 3.3%. As for the IMF World Economic Outlook published in July 2024, predictions for calendar year 2024-25 and 2025 stand at 3.2% and 3.3%, respectively. At the same time, the renewed geopolitical tensions, risk of elevated inflation, especially in the services sector due to higher nominal wages accompanied by relatively lower productivity, pose a downside risk to the growth which economies need to guard against. Now, coming to the Indian economy, India has countered the forces of inflation better than the other economies, thereby maintaining relative stability in the market. The revised data on financial year 2024 has led to practically all agencies raising the estimates for the year upwards. As for MOSPI, the estimates for the year now stand at 8.2% instead of earlier projection of 7.6%. The sustained momentum in manufacturing and services, high frequency of investment activity, government's continued thrust on infrastructure development, expansion in steel consumption, improved prospects in private consumption, etc., all point to a robust outlook. The projections by major agencies like RBI, World Bank, IMF, etc., the economy is poised to grow between 6.7%-7.2% over the next 2 years, helping it maintain its position as one of the fastest growing amongst the major economies. Now, coming to the world steel scenario, the global steel industry continues to be impacted on account of several factors like high inflation, rising geopolitical uncertainties, etc. The demand in China, the biggest producer and consumer of steel, is a cause of worry. The consumption in the real estate investments has been consistently coming down. Though production in China during H1 calendar year 2024 declined by 1.1% over CPLY, but the growth in steel demand continues to be negative. As per WSA, the same is expected to contract by around 1% in 2025. Also, the steel growth in the European Union remains the region with the biggest challenges. Multiple factors like geopolitical shifts, high energy and commodity prices led to a substantial 10% decline year-on-year. The region is, however, expected to recover in coming years with a growth of 2.9% and 5.3% in 2024 and 2025, respectively. the overall growth in demand is poised to turn positive, with WSA forecasting a 1.7% and 1.2% growth in steel demand during 24 and 25, respectively, with countries like India, Russia, Germany, Iran, etc. driving the growth. Indian steel industry has consistently been growing in terms of production as well as consumption numbers in the post-COVID era. During H1 25 as well, crude steel production as well as finished steel consumption have grown by around 5% and 15% respectively. As per the WSA, India remains one of the strongest drivers of demand for steel since 2021 and projected to grow at more than 8% in the near future. Indian steel demand will continue to charge ahead, driven by continued growth in all steel using sectors and especially by continued strong growth in infrastructure investment. With the price of imported coal declining of late, the industry can also heave a sigh of relief on the cost front. However, with prices of steel softening in the international market, this may impact the margins for steel producers. The company's performance for the quarter is that crude steel production stood at 4.683 million tons, whereas saleable steel production stood at 4.182 million tons. Saleable steel sales volume stood at 4.012 million tons, registering a growth of 3.3% over CPLY. In fact, the domestic sales have grown by 5%, but exports have registered a substantial decline. The turnover stood at 23,764 crore due to decline in the price realization. On the profitability front, the company registered an EBITDA of 2,420 crore and improvement of around 16% over CPLY of 2,090 crores. In the area of operational efficiency, the company has been making steady progress for reducing coal coke consumption, increasing the use of CDI, bringing down the specific energy consumption, and improving BF productivity. Continuing with the drive towards improving the product mix, the proportion of semis in saleable steel production stood at 15% by engaging conversion services in and around the plants and the demand sectors, and the percentage share of semis in sales has been lower at 7%. Going forward, the boost from the various measures being taken by the government on infrastructure spending augurs well for the steel demand in the country, with the overall outlook positive for the sustained growth in domestic consumption. We are hopeful of the realization and consequently the margin will improve for the company in the quarters to come. As mentioned earlier, the company is making all-out efforts to bring down the costs by diversifying the sources of coal, improving the techno-economic parameters, etc. With these words, I hand it over to Mr. Kejriwal for opening the Q&A session. I am sure you all have lots of queries on the performance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one is on your coking coal cost. What was the cost in this quarter, and how much decline do you expect in Q2? That is the first question.
Yeah. The coking coal cost during this quarter, actually we have got the imported as well as the indigenous component of that. The imported coking coal was in the range of around about 24,500 landed at our steel plant, and the indigenous was around 13,500. So the average was working out to around about 23,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, and what is the expectation for Q2, sir?
It should be in the similar range. It should not, because what is happening is that not much of a fluctuation is taking place, and whatever coal we have purchased in the first quarter, it will be consumed in the second quarter. So it should be more or less in the similar range.
Because some of your peers actually have guided for roughly $30 to $40 decline. So that's why I was wondering that why it would be in a similar range for us, whether it is due to inventory effect or, I mean, the different procurement policy maybe.
Yeah, it's that, and there is just one thing that I have got some extra stock of coal lying out here, so I'll be consuming that. So it's come during the period, during the first quarter. So it will be, I think, more or less it will be in the more or less in the same range.
Okay. Now the second question is around debt. If I look at debt, that has actually went up significantly compared to last quarter, and I also assume that finished product inventory also would have gone up. So whether the most of this debt is due to the working capital, and if so, when can we expect this unlocking of working capital? And also, if you could highlight the finished product inventory as on date.
Yeah, actually, the debt has gone up by around about 5,000 crores during this quarter. The main reason is, as I was telling you, that we have accumulated some coal stocks. Actually, we had some long-term agreements with some of the coal miners, and they were having their shutdowns during the second half of this financial year. So we had to take some stock in advance from them. So that has had an impact. So this we will be gradually bringing it down. And our levels are normally at 30 to 35 days of stock level, which is there. So it will come down by, you can say, December or January. So this will surely help us in reducing our our borrowings, because we will not have to pay for the coal for, we will have to pay less for the coal in the coming months. Yes, the inventory of finished steel as well as semis has gone up. The finished inventory has gone up by, has not increased much, but the inventory of semis has gone up by around about, you can say, by around about half a million tons has gone up. So this is a matter of actually what has happened is in our Bokaro steel plant we had a shutdown for our hot strip mill. So but we did not stop the production because we kept the slabs. We started producing. We kept the slabs in our stock. So this slabs will be liquidating now gradually. So this has an impact also. So basically, if you see the finished steel inventory, finished and semi-finished steel inventory has gone up around about 1,000 crores in this quarter itself.
Okay. And what would be the finished product inventory in million tons as of now?
The finished, it is at 1.84 million tons.
1.84. Okay, great, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Vora from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So the first question was on the semis mix and how to see that going forward, because it was around 15% in this quarter. So how do we plan to, you know, bring it down, or what is the outlook on that? Thank you.
The semis will remain at more or less the same levels. It will not come down drastically. The only thing is that our basic target is to maximize conversion through our conversion agents and wet leasing agents. So this we'll be doing it. But I don't see much of a reduction in the percentage of semis.
Got it.
After the expansion which we are planning, we are planning a few more mills. We are having TMT mills at Durgapur steel plant. Then these semis will come down to more or less, you can say it will not be there at all.
Okay, so and what would be the timeline for that?
That's a timeline of around about 3 years, 3 to 3.5.
So in 3 years, semis will be negligible, is what you're saying?
Yeah, it will come down to, you can say, virtually zero level.
Got it. And sir, I was also seeing the mix of value-added products have gone up in this quarter. However, you know, on the mix side, when we report our bridge for the EBITDA, we see a negative on that. So how to look at that?
Uh, Actually, see, what has happened is that adverse variance, whatever is being shown, the impact is basically because of Bokaro. See, Bokaro, we had this, the hot strip mill has not worked for, you can say, most part of the quarter. So that's why the volume mix, has changed.
Got it. So, sir, I was referring to the value-added mix that you report. So you've reported a value-added mix of around 55.2% in Q1.
Right.
And still the mix is negative on the EBITDA bridge. So can we connect these and how to see that?
Overall volume. See, that is on the volumes. Volumes are, it's basically a combination of volume and mix. So volumes have come down. You are probably comparing with Q4 of 24, isn't it? 23-24.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So basically what happened in the last quarter, the volumes are substantially high as compared to the first quarter. So it is mainly because of the volumes.
Okay. Mix has positively contributed is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Mehta from Bank of Baroda Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. This quarter, we are reporting a coke rate at 428 kg versus 440 kg of average in FY24. What is the driver for this reduction in coke rate, and will this remain at this level or will it move up again?
Come again with your question.
In our slide pack, we are showing the coke rate at 428 kg during Q1 versus 440 kg in FY24.
Yeah.
So what is driving the reduction in coke rate?
There is one more thing, that our operational efficiencies are improving. We are emphasizing more on better quality of iron ore also. And besides that, see, the CDI rate is also going up. So the CDI rate, the moment the CDI rate goes up your FE quality improves, so we get a better coke rate then in these cases. And we are planning a further reduction in the coke rate in these coming months and with an improved quantity of CDI push.
In terms of the CDI rate shown on the slide has remained more or less flat from 106 to 107. So there wasn't sort of proportionate change in the CDI rate, but coke rate had gone down. That's the reason I was asking the question.
Can you come again with your question, please?
I was saying that in terms of the CDI rate has remained more or less similar between Q1 and FY24.
Yeah.
It is shown as 107 versus 106 in Q4,
right.
FY24. But despite that, the coke rate had come down. So is it more due to the better quality of FE, as you were saying?
It is because of better quality of FE and better and improved efficiencies in the blast furnaces also. Like more oxygen pushing and all also helps to a very large extent in bringing out the operational efficiencies.
And what would be the target for this year?
This year we have targeted 414, we may not be able to achieve that. I'm sure that another, you can take 6 to 8 kgs of fall will be there during the balance period.
Right, sir. And what about the CDI rate?
CDI will go up because CDI basically we have got new sources for supply of CDI. So the CDI pushing will increase in the coming months. So that will also increase by at least 10 to 12 kgs.
Right, sir. One more question was, what are the sort of the CapEx schemes which are running which could have a benefit either increasing the volume or sort of the mix, volume mix? So in terms of the caster that we are adding at a couple of locations or the TMT work, could you sort of run us through all the project schemes which are running currently, you are under execution currently?
We have got our capacities around 20 million tons. But we are going to have some debottlenecking schemes. I can just give you a few examples, like the blast furnace 3 of Durgapur. That is going to be revamped, and that will give us higher volumes. Similarly, the casters are coming up in Rourkela and Bhilai. and these will be also giving us higher volumes. So these things are being added so that with some, you know, like modifications in the existing system or adding certain capacities in certain areas where there were some bottlenecks, we are trying to bring it up. So we are planning to bring it up by 3 million tons in the next 3 to 4 years by putting in something like 10 to 11,000 crores of rupees in that. So these are basically action plans for increasing the capacities by investing the least amount.
And when are the caster at Rourkela and Bhilai due? When are we targeting it for completion?
Bhilai has already come and it is under trial, and Rourkela, I think 2 years down the line. Two years down the line.
Right. And what about BF3 revamping at Durgapur?
BF3, we'll be placing the order for that, and I think it is 18 months from the placement of order.
Sure. And in terms of the two new sort of the revamp of the plant's proposal that we are progressing, is there where we are working on the DPR and sort of the finalizing the cost estimates? Could you give us a bit more insight into has the progress been during the quarter?
One particular plant, Disco Steel plant, already the board has accorded stage one approval for that, and it's a 4 million ton plant, and the total investment will be around 37,000 crores. And the other two plants which are there, they are basically brownfield expansions, in which Bokaro is going to be ramped up to 7 million tons, and Durgapur will be going up by around about 1 million tons. So these two, they are still at discussion stages, and they will be put up to the board shortly. We are just looking into it because the cost given by the consultant appears to be on the higher side, so we are having it evaluated again.
And for ISCO Steel plant, when are we targeting to go to the board for the stage 2 approval?
Actually, stage 2, I think the tendering will start now very shortly, and the moment we freeze the major packages for this BOF and BF, and SMS. So the moment we finalize these packages, we'll come back to the board.
Sure, sir. Thanks for this color.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I joined the call late, so please excuse if it's a repeat. Is it possible to share what was the NSR, blended NSR for 1Q, and how are we looking at 2Q based on how the July month has gone by?
The NSR for Q1, it's in the range of 53,700.
Okay.
And going forward, it has declined further in the month of July by, you can say, around about 500 to 600 rupees. And there is a further reduction in the month of August also.
Sir, was August around 1,500 decline or more?
It could be in that range or maybe slightly more than that also.
Okay, so from the average, somewhere around 1500 to 1000 to 1500 for 2Q looks like based on July, August?
I think so.
Okay. Got it, sir. Sir, on the coking coal, you're saying flat. Is it possible to share what is the cost in 1Q? And given the declining trend, why are we expecting flat prices in 2Q?
What is happening is, as I had explained earlier, that we have accumulated some stock of coal, imported coal, during this April to June, because some of our suppliers had some issues of supplying in the second half of the financial year. So we have accumulated the stock. So we'll be basically, that is the more or less the stock of the whatever is the stock rate in Q1, it will probably be in the Q2 also, because we'll be basically liquidating that stock which we have already accumulated.
Understood. So is it possible to share the net debt number as on 1Q end?
Q1 is 35,659 crore.
659.
Yeah, 35,659.
Okay, so and I mean, what would be the reason behind the sharp increase? Is it largely working capital buildup?
Yes, it is basically working capital buildup. As I explained earlier, it was basically we got some accumulated coal out here, and moreover, the inventory has also gone up to some extent. So these are the two major reasons because of this. And we expect to bring it down in the balance period of the year.
So is it possible to share net debt number? Because this, I believe, is gross debt, right?
It's the same thing. We don't have much of cash in hand, I think.
Okay, roughly the same. Okay.
Yeah.
And so just one last clarification. In the previous question you answered, some 4 million tons for 37,000 crores. I did not get that. Is it possible to share what exactly is the expansion and the cost estimate?
Okay, so basically we are having a flat product plant out there, which will have blast furnace, which will have one large blast furnace, and along with that, steel making viewers and hot strip mill. So these are the major three facilities. Besides that, all the raw material handling plants and the evacuations, all those things taken together, plus the power supplies and other things. Even I think one pellet plant is also there. So putting all these things put together, it's working out.
So this number is right, 37,000 crore for 4 million tons?
Yeah, for 4 million tons.
Okay.
This includes all the hard and soft costs. We are talking about the EDCs, or expenditure during constructions, whatever we have got, the consultancy, the interest during constructions. So it includes all these elements also.
Okay, sir. I mean, few of the other peers are expanding brownfield. The capital cost is around $600. Ours is around $1,100, $1,200. So, what are the key reasons behind such a higher cost, even for brownfield expansion? And then,
this is not a brownfield expansion. If you see, this is not at all a brownfield. This is absolutely a new plant which is being set up.
Okay. So is the land
no
and everything?
Facilities, because at the moment, ISCO is around about 2.5 to 2.8 million ton plant. It's a long product plant. So in the area which is available, we are going in for these facilities. But everything will be new for this plant.
Okay, and so what is the capex guidance? When do we start spending for this?
We'll be going in for the tendering activities for this very shortly, maybe in a month or two. And finalizing it should take around about 6 to 8 months. And then after that, you can say the capex guidance for this will be from the initial payments can be from, you can say, end of 25. Means 25 means I'm talking about calendar year 25. And the majority of the expenditures will start coming in from, you can say, 27-28.
Understood. All right. So I have more questions. I'll join the queue back, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Kunal Kothari from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, firstly, can you give breakup on the NSR of long strip price and HRC price, and how much in that segment has we have seen fall in current month, in last month and in August?
In the long segment, the NSR was in the range of, you can say, around about 54,000 rupees, and in the flat it was 53,500. Then the average was coming to around about 53,700.
And in both, how much fall we have seen in July and August?
July, there has been a dip of around about, 700 to 800 in case of long. And in case of flat, it has been around about 1,500 rupees.
Okay. So any medium-term outlook you can provide on the pricing front, like from this price point, how you see the price to go from here?
July and August has been bad. we expect at least with some infrastructure expenditure being pumped in by the government, the long segment should start looking up. Flats, there is a challenge because there are some imports also. So they are trying, though the imports percentage is very low, but it is pulling down the overall price in the market. So let's hope that there is something, some bright spot in the future for the flats also.
Okay, sir. Question in regard of CapEx. So what expectation one can build on the total CapEx in FY 25, 26, 27 per year basis?
For FY 24-25, we have projected around about 6,000 crores. It's actually 6,300, which we have given to the ministry. And the expenditure in the coming year also will be in the similar range, around about 7,000 crores or something. The real jump in the capex will come from, you can say, 26-27 onwards.
Okay. And lastly, sir, there are reports about the merger between RINL and NMDC Steel with SAIL. Any assessment of yours in this report, sir?
No, we are not aware of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just to clarify on the pricing correction, the 7,800 in longs and 1,500 in flats, that's the July correction, is it?
Yeah,
July,
that's
August. And in August, what is that number for long and flats?
You can say another dip of around about 1,000 odd, maybe more than that also, 1,500 odd in the long products, and similar thing in the flat products.
So on, and during this quarter, essentially, as in the quarter that's gone by, flat prices were almost flattish sequentially, but longs witnessed a correction, and ongoing both are witnessing a correction.
See, already there has been a fall of quite a lot in these 2 months. So if you see the quarter, I don't think there will be any improvement over the previous quarter. It has to be lower than the previous quarter.
Sorry, just to be clear, my question was the first quarter number that you've reported, that was anyway down on a quarter-on-quarter basis?
Yes.
For the long, and yeah. Flats were largely sort of flattish, right?
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the CapEx side, what is spent in the first quarter?
On the CapEx side, the expenditure on the first quarter?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 986 crores.
Okay, and the expansion at ISCO, you said, will be 4 million tons, and what you're evaluating at Bokaro and Durgapur, they are both around 1 million tons each?
No, Bokaro is nearly 3 million tons, 2.4 million tons, and Durgapur, it is 3. Durgapur just 1
million.
Around 0.9 million times. So it will go up to around about 3 plus. See, Bokaro will go up to 7. And this will go up to, how much is it?
3
million times.
Understood.
It has been
2.1
million
times. Got it. And just one last question. What are your volume targets for this year? Has there been any change from what you said last time around, for FY25?
Volume target for this year, we are planning a crude steel production of around 20.87 million tons and sales volume of around 19.26 million tons.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Abhishek Poddar from HDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. So, two questions on this expansion. First is regarding the funding. If you look at, you already are sitting on a debt of 35,000 crore, and the capex for this you highlighted is 37,000. And if you look at your annual cash flows also today, you know, given the sustaining capex of 6,000 to 6,500 crore, and then the interest payment on the debt, it doesn't leave a lot of cash flows left. So how would you fund it, and would it leverage your balance sheet a lot in 3-4 years time frame if you continue with this expansion?
When we had made an earlier projection, we had worked it out that we've been leaving around 1 lakh crore for all our expansions. for this 15 million ton expansion. But then we had worked out the cash flows, and we were seeing that we would probably at any point of time we will reach the highest of 1.1 of debt to equity ratio. But now with the current market, we will again have to work it out how we are going to end up, maybe probably what is going to be the debt equity ratio and how much further funds will be required. We will have to have a recalculation of that.
Okay, so any sense of peak debt you could see in next 3-4 years? What number could it be?
We have not assessed that immediately. And again, I was telling you, because of this change scenario where suddenly these prices have come down and the margins have come down, so we will have to work on that again.
Right. But irrespective of market conditions, you will continue with this expansion?
Yes, we are continuing with this expansion.
And so any IRR or payback analysis we have done for this Bokaro plant of 37,000 crore?
It's ISCO plant, and we have made an analysis. It's quite favorable. I think 18% is the IRR.
Okay, and what steel price assumption is building in that number, sir?
The assumptions were again what they were earlier of the steel prices which are prevailing in the last average of last 3 years. We have considered that and worked it out. And the other things which you have assumed is stamp charge battery, where the price of input coal will be reduced to a large extent, and a lot of other techno-economic improvement parameters which have been worked into it. So it's based on that. Of course, latest technology is being taken, so we'll be benefiting on that. But we'll just have to work it out again before we go in for the stage 2 clearance of the project.
Understood. And sir, just last question, any sense on this Durgapur and Bokaro capex, this 3.5 total will be how much?
There was an indicative figure given by the consultant, and we were not too happy with it. So we have sent it back to the consultant with certain guidelines of reworking on that. So nothing is, concrete at this point of time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pallav Agarwal from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. So just want to check, are there any implications due to the recent Supreme Court judgment on the states having the power to levy cess? So, because in the annual report of last year, I couldn't really find any major contingent liability. So, is there any potential impact that could have on us?
See, there are certain state-related taxes which we are already paying. That is in Chhattisgarh and Madhya Pradesh. And in case of Jharkhand, they have recently announced that they will be imposing 100 rupees per ton for iron ore and coal. So this is going to have a prospective effect of around 200 crores. And in case of Odisha, where we also have our mines, there is no clarity as yet. So we are just waiting for further clarity on this.
Okay, so some of the other steel companies with mines in Odisha, they have been providing for a contingent liability for many years now, so which is not there in our books of accounts. So
no, it is there. I think MADA is there. There was earlier in case of Odisha, they had imposed a 15% tax on the ore which was being extracted from there. But then I think that ruling went in our favor, so we did not provide any contingent liability thereafter. And after that, there has been no claim by the Odisha government, nor have they gone further, litigated the thing. So we don't have anything much on that count. But we do not know what will be the final direction which will be given by the Supreme Court. So based on that, we'll have to assess our liabilities, or if there is any other thing, we'll have to assess that at a later stage.
Sure, sir. So also, you mentioned that we have some coking coal inventory, so, the benefits will not flow in the next quarter, but Q3, maybe we can see some reduction in coking coal.
Yes, yes. Q3, there will be a reduction of around about, you can say, but then again, it depends on the supply or the rates which are being finalized in this August-September quarter, in this August-September month. So it will then, that will flow into the third quarter. You can say,
yeah,
October.
So if you assume that spot rates, no, sustain, then we should see some benefit in the...
Yeah, some benefit.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rajesh Majumdar from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question was that normally 2Q monsoon quarter is a weak quarter for the industry, but last year also we saw a decent volume in 2Q. Now with the recent price correction, we expect the system to build up inventories and the volume can actually be much better than Q1? That was the first question, sir.
The volume should be better than Q1, especially when our Bokaro plant has also now come up. So the volumes will start flowing from there too. And yes, always you must have seen in the industry that Q1, and especially sale is no exception, that Q1 is normally not very good. And this year also it has not been too good, mainly because of Bokaro, because of which we had a substantial impact on our profitability. And then we also have to take a hit of around about 300 odd crores this year for some exceptional items. So that is the main reason where though our EBITDA is good, but our PBT and PAT are lower.
Yeah, thank you. And so my other question was that we have been carrying subgrid iron ore fine inventory of for some time, and currently the market with the current condition, there is a strong demand for this. So do we expect to realize some extra sales from this in the coming quarters?
Yeah, we will see if we get a good price for it. It's not that we are in any hurry to sell it off, because we have a lot of plans for these subgrid fines. Besides selling them off, we have got plans of using them in our steel plants also, because though we can say, though we are being told that, though we always mention that it's subgrade fines, but the quality of these fines is very good. It's more or less equal to what is being mined now. So this is there. Besides that, we have got plans of setting up pellet plants. We are also having plans of setting up pellet plants on COM basis. So these fines will be utilized by us also.
Yeah, just a follow-up question. When are the pellet plants and what capacity is likely to come up over the next couple of years?
We have got, you can say not in the next couple of years, but I think the COM plant will be set up, you can say, in two and a half years. We have our own plans of setting up a plant at Goa Ore Mines, a pellet plant at Goa Ore Mines of 4 million tons. So this should take around about 3.5 to 4 years from now.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Somaya V from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just want to understand a bit on the coking coal cost front. So this 25,000 per ton which you are referring roughly comes to around $300 per ton. So is that the carrying cost, one, for this quarter? And also if I go back last two, three quarters, this number... the import price that you're referring to is more or less flat, around 25,000-26,000 per ton, but international benchmarks have come off. Just want to understand on that.
See, the basically what is happening is this is the price landed at our steel plants. Okay, so there are some other costs involved, like there is a customs duty involved, and besides that there are handling costs at the plant, at the port, and the transportation costs. So all these are included while we are intimating you the landed price of imported coal at our plant.
Understood, sir. I was looking more from the last two, three quarters. This number has been more or less flat, 24,000, 26,000 and 25,000. But generally, the coking coal international benchmark prices have come off.
No, but I don't think, see, what is happening is I'm just seeing the figures which I've got with myself. The Q4 figures were 26,500 and now it's 24,500. This is the landed price at our steel plant. So there is a reduction of around about 2,000 rupees.
Understood, sir. Got it. So, sir, also on this domestic coking coal that you said, so the current mix would be roughly 15%, 20% of your total requirement. Is that right understanding?
Yes.
And is there any limitation in terms of how much we can use this or blend this, to what extent we can go? And also, what is the scope for increasing, in terms of production or taking intake of this domestic coal, will it kind of go up in the next 2 years, thereby helping us a bit on the cost front?
We can go up to around about 25% also. But the only thing is that the availability of the coal is not there. And for this, we have already taken a very big step. Like we have our own mine, Tatra mine. So these mines will be developed. Not we have already awarded the job to an MDO, and this mine will start producing. It's already started producing limited quantities, and we expect around about 4 million ton per annum of production from this. So this will work out to, you can say, around about 2 million tons of coking coal that will be given to, that will be available to us in future from this particular mine.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shweta Dixit from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Sorry to interrupt. Can you please get a bit closer to your mic?
Is it better now?
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
I needed the clarity on debt. If I'm not mistaken, I think the FY24 closing net debt was around 35,000 crore, was it? And the number that you've given today, 35,659, is it as of
FY24? Actually, I'll just clarify, that is Ind AS and this is non-Ind AS, what we are talking. So it was 30,000 crores at the end of the financial year, as of 31st March, it was 30,593, which has now gone up to 35,659.
All right. Is there any target by the end of this year? Because last year, I think the target was to bring it to around 22 or 23,000 crore kind of a number. But any target that you are setting for this year?
We are trying to bring it down to the 30,000 level. See, with the liquidation of the stocks, we will be getting at least 3,000 to 4,000 crores from there. And besides that, of course, cash realized will be much better in this coming in 9 months. So we expect it to come down to at least 30,000 crores by the year.
And I missed the number. What is the expansion plan which is under discussions for Bokaro right now?
For Bokaro, we have only given you the figures of ISP, ISCO Steel Plant, which is 37,000. The figures for Bokaro and Durgapur, they are being reworked.
No, not the capex, the volume wise. Like Durgapur, you mentioned 0.9 million tons. Bokaro is?
Bokaro should be 2.4.
Okay. All right. And that's it from my side. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Let us do the last question, please. We'll take the balance queries offline.
Sure, sir. The last question is from the line of Falguni Datta from Manasarovar Financials. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My question has been answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Kejriwal for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, everyone. And many thanks to sir for giving patient answers to all the questions. Sir, my only last question was on account of our expansion at ISCO. Even if green steel plant, if we consider, normally we consider 7,000 crore per ton. But in case of ISCO, despite having land, we are having 4 million ton at 37,000 crore, which is more than 9,000 crore per ton. So anything specific or extra what we are doing, what others are not incorporating the numbers, or it seems to be very, very high?
See, we haven't yet gone in for the tendering part of it. Okay. And see, what happens is when we talk about others, they don't have these, I do not know how much of the expenditure during constructions. See, what happens is the entire project salaries and all, they are put into the cost of the project. So these are there. And besides that, there is just one the figure which we have got, that for 1 million ton, it's $1 billion. So basically, if you see, it works out around about 34,000 to 35,000 crores.
Okay, okay, fair enough. Thank you, sir, and best wishes for future. Any closing remarks, sir, you want to give?
I mean, I thank all the investors for reposing faith in us, and I'm hopeful that they shall continue to do so in future also. Thank you.
On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.